Hello, fellow law nerds. Welcome to another episode of Boom Lawyered, a Rewired.News podcast hosted by the legal journalism team that is seriously sick of pollen. Why is it covering everything? Why is it in my face? Why is it making my eyes burn? Why is it making my nose runny? I'm Imani Gandhi.
And I'm Jess Piclo. Rewired.News is dedicated to bringing you the best reproductive rights and social justice news, commentary, and analysis on the web, and the Team Legal podcast is part of that mission. So a big thanks to our subscribers and a welcome to our new listeners.
Is it legal for a president to pardon himself?
Well, we don't know. No president's ever tried, so it hasn't gone to court, hasn't been decided, but he can certainly try.
So everybody is talking about pardons, right? The questions are flying fast and furious in the media. Can Trump pardon himself?
Can Trump pardon Ivanka?
Can Trump pardon Jared?
What about Michael Flynn? Can he pardon him?
What about Paul Manafort? Can he pardon him?
Ooh, Michael Cohen. How about him?
Oh, God, I hope he does not pardon Michael Cohen. We got to stop saying pardon because, well, we're not going to stop saying pardon. We're actually going to say the word pardon a lot because that's what we're talking about today is pardons and what the hell is going to happen if any or all of these pardons happen.
This episode, we're going to talk about the brief history of pardons and how we got into this mess to begin with. I'll give you a spoiler alert. It's all Gerald Ford's fault.
Gerald Ford, did you say?
I did. We're also going to talk about some of the worst case scenarios if and when Trump tries this nonsense, and also some possible silver linings that might be out there, because believe it or not, there are some. A couple. Just a few.
I don't believe it.
We do. We have just a few.
All right. I'll trust you, Jess.
Okay, Imani, so let's dive in with a brief history of pardons. What is the deal with pardons?
What is the deal with pardons? That'd be a great Seinfeld skit. So pardons are a vestige from the monarchy days, the olden days when the king could just overturn any person's sentence because he was the king and he goddamn well felt like it. The founders of this great nation, who are a bunch of racist slaveholders, but we don't have to talk about that now, George Washington and a bunch of all these other white dudes in wigs and hats, thought that it would be a... Wigs and hats? Wigs and tights? Well, they also wore hats, but wigs and hats and tights. They thought that it would be a really good idea to use the pardon as an act of mercy. It was supposed to be something that was done that would benefit the public in the public welfare.
So the idea was then from the beginning to sort of smooth over tensions with people like insurrectionists and folks who were hostile maybe to the revolutionaries, not necessarily straight political pardons, right?
Exactly. You know, when this country was first founded, there was a lot of uprisings, rebellions, riots, if you will. And the government kind of didn't know what to do with these people because the country was in its, you know, in its nascence. And to start tossing people in jail willy-nilly would have probably made the great American experiment a disaster before it even got started. Slavery aside. Guess what the first use of the pardon power was, Jessica? It has to do with one of my favorite things.
Ooh, okay. So one of your favorite things. What do you like? You don't like people, like scotch.
I do. I don't like people and I do love scotch. And I oftentimes drink scotch because I don't like people. So the first use of the pardon was in connection with something called the Whiskey Rebellion. The Whiskey Rebellion. It's like the best rebellion I've ever heard of.
Seriously. What's the Whiskey Rebellion? This sounds amazing.
Okay, so back in 1794, a bunch of whiskey-producing farmers in Pennsylvania were a bit pissed off that there was a federal tax on distilled spirits. And so they did what angry white folks were wont to do at the time. They rioted.
Well, okay, not at the time. Angry white folks are still want to riot.
That's true. But at least at the time it was like over taxes. Now it's because if like the Celtics lose.
Right.
But, you know, George Washington wasn't really in the mood to deal with an uprising. So he grabbed 13,000 of his best soldiers and marched his ass into Western Pennsylvania, where they quelled the rebellion, arrested a bunch of people. Two people were convicted of treason and sent to death. Big thing, right?
Yeah.
So in 1975, that would have been really weird if George Washington was alive in 1975, 1 year after I was born. Make that 1795, he decided to pardon the two people who were convicted of treason and sentenced to death in order to avoid a bigger mess, in order to avoid more insurrection, and to just sort of pave the way for peace and prosperity. So that really was the point of the pardon. He was afraid that if he sentenced these people to death, people would riot some more, and he didn't want that. So in the interest of the public welfare, he pardoned them. It wasn't to protect his own personal interests, and that's what the pardon was for back in the day. Public welfare.
So it's really interesting to me that we start with this like vestige of the monarchy and it travels down through our time as colonies. And then we enshrine it in the Constitution, right? Because that's where the president's pardon power comes from. And it's pretty absolute. I mean, there are very few limits on it. And in fact, the Supreme Court has even said that if you get a pardon, that usually means there's some sort of indicia or admission of guilt.
Right. So in 1833, in order to continue on with our brief history of the pardon, Chief Justice Marshall, John Marshall, he was essentially the granddaddy of the Supreme Court, the granddaddy of the Constitution. Mm-hmm. He's basically the guy that said, you know what? The courts are going to have judicial review over all the shit that Congress does. It was a big deal at the time because Congress was like, say what? We don't want judicial review. We want to do what we want to do.
It is a big deal. And in fact, this is just a little sidebar, but because you brought it up, we got to mention that conservatives today will still go after that decision, right? Marbury versus Madison and say, nope, no judicial review by the courts. But that's an aside. Go on.
Yes. So
I geek out whenever we talk about that stuff because like the conservatives hold on to this stuff and like they don't let it go.
Yeah, they really don't. They're not ones to let shit go. That's for sure. So Chief Justice Marshall, would not have been happy with the way that pardons have been used over the last 40 years.
Why not?
Well, he said that pardons were an act of grace, right? And that they were an act of grace that were only valid when they were accepted. So as you said earlier, there was some sort of admission of guilt. And by accepting the pardon, you were sort of saying, yeah, I did this shit. Probably shouldn't have done it. Excuse me, will you pardon me? And they'll say, yeah, we're going to pardon you, not because I want to and it's in my presidential interest, because it's in the public welfare. It's an act of grace, of mercy. It's godlike. Well, that's not how it is now.
No. So think about something that is an act of God and full of grace and now being used in the public conversation about whether or not we're going to, oh, I don't know, pardon somebody for paying hush money to a mistress or whatever we're talking about. I mean, we've got a complete aberration of norms of pardon power, which shocking under shocking of things with the Trump administration is exactly how they do business with that, right?
That's exactly right. And so now that we've given you this tight, brief history of the pardon, we are going to move on and talk about one of the biggest pardons that is probably on your mind as we're talking about pardons, Watergate. Dun, dun, dun.
Imani, that was a lovely, brief history of the pardon power. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So we have this snapshot and it's like everything was going fine. Pardons. I mean, we had the Whiskey Rebellion. That seemed to be a pretty appropriate use of the pardon power. Keep the peace. But then we get Nixon and Gerald Ford and Watergate and shit changes.
Shit really hit the fan. Let's listen to this clip.
Now, therefore, I, Gerald R. Ford,
President of the United States.
Oh my God, I can't listen to this
stop,
clip anymore.
Stop
Why?
Clip. No more clip.
Why? I think I fell asleep and turned 45, and I'm only 43 right now. Like, what is happening? Why is he talking so slow?
I, Gerald R. Ford.
No, it's more like, now therefore, I, Gerald R. Ford, President of the United States, pursuant to the pardon power conferred upon me by Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution, have granted and by these presents do grant a full, free, and absolute pardon unto Richard Nixon for all offenses against the United States, which he, Richard Nixon, has committed or may have committed or taken part in during the period from January 20th, 1969 through August 9th, 1974.
Oh my God. There's so much there. Okay, aside from the fact that it's that Ford sounds like he wrote and read this while on Quaaludes, because it was the 70s.
Dude, it was the 70s. Everybody was on Quaaludes then. If it was the 80s, it would have been like, I, Gerald Ford, President of the United States, pursuant to the pardon power conferred by me upon Article 2, Section 2.
Let's because do it. Everyone was doing cocaine.
But all but mocking aside, all
there's
mocking
so
aside.
Much to unpack. There's so much to unpack with this pardon, because it's really huge. So first of all, it's the first time we have in our history that we've got a president being pardoned during an active criminal investigation. When Ford issued this, Nixon had resigned and was under criminal investigation, potentially indicted. Like, this was a big deal.
It was a huge deal, and especially because he didn't consult with the attorney general, like, not even a little bit. He didn't even he wasn't even like, hey, yo, you think this is a good idea? Nah, son. No, nothing. There was no nothing. Consultation, which is very bizarre, because seeing as it's like an issue of the law and you have an attorney general who is the lawyer for the United States, seems to me you ought to check in.
Especially on something that also has so much like political backlash attached to it. I mean, there was no way. In fact, they knew it was going to be a big deal. So why you would not get at least a like thumbs up from your AG, I have no idea. But I mean, look at the language, right? The language is so broad. It completely suggests that this was something that they were like, fuck it, we're just going to do it and get it over with, right? Like, what all is Nixon pardoned for? Basically everything he ever did? I don't know. Like, where's the limit?
Yeah, I mean, the pardon itself says anything he did between 1969 and 1974, but who knows what else he was doing during that time? I mean, obviously, it seems like the pardon should have been tailored to the Watergate break-in, but I don't know, maybe he was kidnapping babies, and maybe he got pardoned for kidnapping a bunch of babies, and we never know about him. Maybe Nixon is a baby kidnapper, and we never found out because of Gerald Ford.
I mean, there may be baby snatched that we will never know because it was shut down. The pardon shut down the investigation. And also, it blew the norm because Nixon never gave any admission of guilt or even a whoops. It just said, okay, like some things I did during this time period, I get the green light for. Like, what?
Yeah, it's nuts. And so the fact that this investigation was shut down should seem very familiar to me, to you, to all of us, because it actually sets the stage for what could play out with Trump, right? If there is some pardon action with respect to Trump and the investigation is shut down as a result, we may never know the extent to which Russia was involved in our elections, the extent to which, I don't know, prostitutes were peeing on him, because that's really the one thing that I want to come out. I want to see the pee tape.
Amani is
pee
real,
tape,
real into
pee
this
tape,
pee tape.
Pee tape, pee tape. I want to believe. I want to pee leave. But anyway, so let's get into some of the reasons that Ford decided to pardon Nixon.
Okay, well, I mean, he gave a bunch of reasons, right? Like, this Watergate investigation had gone on, and it was ripping the country apart, and it was time to move on. But then he gave this gem.
I do believe with all my heart and mind and spirit that I, not as president, but as a humble servant of God, will receive justice without mercy if I fail to show mercy.
Wait. Did he just say that he was pardoning Nixon so that he could get into heaven?
He
did. I
sure
just hear
did.
That? You what? What? That doesn't even make any sense. That literally doesn't make sense. And I have a serious problem with that. So he's pardoning Nixon not to heal the nation, not as an act of public welfare, not even as an act of mercy or an act of grace directed towards Nixon. He's trying to play the Jesus lottery and hope that he's going to get into heaven by pardoning some dude who was involved in massive corruption. How does that make sense?
I don't know. I mean, you know, there's been some speculation that Ford, I almost said Pence, but you'll see where my head is, that Ford and Nixon had some sort of side agreement, right? That Nixon would resign, Ford would give him a pardon, all would be good. And, you know, given the language and the mealy-mouthed reasons, I think that there's probably some credence to that. But also, I'm just pissed that, like, he really blew up this norm and we had this ongoing criminal investigation that was a really big deal. I mean, the break-in was a huge deal. Everything that was going around on about, you know, the press as enemies of the state and wiretapping your political party, your political enemies. Like, this was all a really big deal. And the Republicans were just like, nope, all right, we're all done, moving on. And like, no, that's not how it works.
Yeah. And certainly what you just mentioned about the press being being the enemy of the state rings true right now, considering Trump seems to be at war with the press and trying to convince all of his supporters that the press is illegitimate. But again, another topic for another time. So why don't we talk about what actually happened after Ford used this pardon and what other political personal pardons this particular pardon started, fomented, if you will.
Right. So from this political pardon roll, several others of ill repute. We get George H.W. Bush.
Pardon of ill repute.
I mean, you know, that's some of them are just amazing, you know, like George H.W. Bush pardoning Caspar Weinberger with regard to the Iran-Contra affair because, I mean, again, according to some critics, he didn't want to have to testify and implicate himself. And it's super nice now that Ollie North is the president of the NRA also, so...
Yeah,
lots
that's
of sidebars,
awesome.
But
and for those of you who don't know who Caspar Weinberger is or even what Iran-Contra is, Google it. You should really Google it because it was quite the scandal. I remember being a kid and having my TV interrupted because of the Oliver North trials. And once you read about it, you're going to be real irritated that he's now the president of the NRA. But an even more sort of salacious pardon was Bill Clinton, who pardoned his brother Roger Clinton after Roger was busted for cocaine.
I know, but I kind of love that pardon.
But that's not exactly, but that's not the kind of pardon that John Marshall had in mind when he talked about public welfare
totally.
And acts of grace.
No, getting your brother off a coke charge, probably not what the founding fathers had in mind.
Exactly.
God bless Bill. And then there was the other George Bush, George W. Bush. He commuted Scooter Libby's sentence. That's a little different than a pardon. Commuting a sentence is when you've already got a conviction and you're doing time. And then you say, nope, you get out of jail now. But again, this is all getting your buddies out of jail, literally.
Yeah, and that was for those of you who don't remember, Scooter Libby basically outed a CIA agent, Valerie Plame, and it was a huge scandal, and mm-hmm. he was, and George Bush was like, you're my buddy, we're gonna get you out of prison. That's not what mm-hmm. the pardon power was supposed to be for. It's really not, but given this history that has occurred over the last 40 years, it really wouldn't be that uncommon for Trump to pardon Ivanka or Jared or Flynn or any of these other corrupt asshats. But what about pardoning himself?
Well, that would be like the worst case scenario.
It really,
you know,
really
but
would.
We've given you this history of how the pardon became a political tool. And so I guess we'll go through that nightmare scenario of Trump pardoning himself and a couple others. And also the possibility that we do have a limit on the pardon power, maybe potentially, hopefully. When we come back.
So we talked to you about how we got here, how we got to this point where we're actually wondering whether or not Trump can pardon himself and excuse himself from any consequences for all of the outrageous corruption that has been going on. Because let's face it, Donald J. Trump has been involved in some seriously shady shit over the years. He's got, for example, suspected ties to the Russian mafia.
Some global money laundering in his background.
Oh, that's fun. What about hush payments to women like Stormy Daniels?
Some potential campaign finance violations right there.
There are some rape and sexual assault charges that are out there. There was a lawsuit brought by a teenager that was dropped, ultimately. What happened there? We may never know.
Those emoluments cases too, right? All that bribery?
Yeah, all the bribery, all the foreign dignitaries that are staying in the Trump Hotel properties. This is all some seriously shady shit, and...
A little light treason comes to mind.
I think I may have committed a little light treason. I like Trump as the George Bluth of president of the United States. But here's the thing. If Trump pardons himself, then he gets away with all of that, right? I mean, he could possibly get away with all of that. And what will happen mm-hmm. then? What will happen then, Jessica?
Well... chaos, basically. Exactly. So right now, it's an open question as to whether or not Trump has the power to pardon himself, right? All the legal scholars say we don't have any idea if he does or not. And what we do know is that Trump is willing to push any boundary. So he would be really quite okay, I think, giving us a test case.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
What would that look like? Well, God, I don't know. Like, Imani, who could sue under that, right? Who would have standing to sue?
I don't even know. I don't know who would have standing to sue. Maybe Democrats? Senate Democrats? Yeah. Congressional Democrats? I can't imagine that a private citizen would have standing to sue.
I mean, I don't know. So if we figure out that there's an avenue to challenge that, then we have to contend with the fact that we have a bunch of crony judges on the bench now and forever, thanks to Republicans and Trump and Democrats not being able to stop them. And so then we have to deal with the Supreme Court. And oh my God, Imani, what if they were to say this is totally cool?
Then we're all totally fucked.
Yeah.
I mean, if they say it's totally cool, first of all, if they say it's totally cool and the originalists on the court go along with it, I'm going to have to call up the zombie Judge Marshall and be like, are you serious? Because this is not what Chief Justice Marshall would have wanted the pardon to be used for. So, I mean, the courts could just say, eh, whatever. Trump gets away with everything. Maybe Pence becomes president because he's now the vice president. And that's the line of succession. And that's it. We just never know what happened. And all of the shit, all of the money that he's made, all of the kleptocracy will have been given a stamp of approval by the Supreme Court.
And that really is the worst case scenario, and that requires a breakdown of a whole bunch of institutional norms to get there. So hopefully we're not there. It's an open question, though. All right, so then what if Pence offers to pardon Trump if he resigns, kind of like our Watergate scenario? What happens then?
Same thing, really. I mean, Pence probably, you know, they make a side handshake deal. Pence says, you know, you step down, I'll step up, I'll pardon you of everything. You could go off and live at one of your Trump hotels in the Philippines and never be seen or heard from again. Like, that would ever happen. Trump would never shut up about it. But the point is that, you know, there are machinations that could go on that could end up with Trump being completely absolved of everything that he's done. And then we've got this Christian nut job in Mike Pence, this anti-gay, anti-human person in the White House. And is that a better situation than where we are now?
Not really. Right. And I mean, you know, one of the things that comes to mind for me is what would the scope of that pardon look like, right? Like, we saw Ford's pardon of Nixon was super broad. The only thing that was hemmed in by were some dates. Like, what if Pence just didn't put any dates there? What if he just said, yo, you're good, we're cool? Then, I mean, at what point are we talking about Pence's power to just change the pardon even more so?
Right. And I would imagine that Trump would actually push for that. You know, he's like, if I'm going to resign, then you're going to have to pardon me for all of the shit I've done, like, up till now. Because technically, you know, a lot of the allegations of money laundering and ties to the mafia, they extend back several years. But, you know, to talk to people who are in the know about this thing, it may be that this push to have to have Trump be president started back then with those random Russian mafia ties in the 80s and whatever. So who knows?
Right. And depending on what that scope looks like and depending on how that's written, you know, then it might be a way for the Trump Pence administration to avoid the courts, right? You don't get a legal challenge then. You're not worried about the judges stepping in. You just need your number two to do their job as a number two.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all rather depressing.
Oh, God, that's depressing. Let's give some hope. We do have some hope. Let's pivot to that because this is going to make me drink.
Whiskey, hopefully. And then we could rebel about it. So there is some hope. You know, SCOTUS might do the right thing and draw a line. They might say, you know what, we're not going to do this. They could nullify the pardon. They could finally set some constitutional standards on the limit of the pardon. That could happen.
It really could. And I mean, I'm usually pretty cynical on the Supreme Court, but, you know, even someone like Chief Justice Roberts here, I'd have to think that with his legacy on the line, he wouldn't want to go down in the history books as the guy who gave Trump the green light and brought an end to our democracy. Like, that's a pretty damning headline.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. That would basically...
Roberts kills democracy. Like, I don't think he wants that.
No, he really doesn't. Also, you know, Robert Mueller is a pretty smart guy, and I would suspect that if he's got Trump on the ropes, he probably also has Pence on the ropes, right? So,
yeah,
I'm going to put a little bit of faith in Bob Mueller because he seems like he knows what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah, he's really, I mean, he's got this long history of going after crime syndicates, and really that's all this administration is a crime syndicate, and that's how he's treated much of this investigation. You know, one of the things I love is that he's got a guy on his side, a preemptive pardon guy, right? Like, so there's an attorney that is, his whole job on the Mueller investigation team is to figure out how to get around any pardon shenanigans that the Trump administration might pull. And I love that.
Exactly. And finally, the final point is that there are state crimes that Trump could be charged with. So even mm-hmm. if he does pardon himself, the state of New York, for example, could bring charges with respect to whatever. And who knows what's going to happen now with Schneiderman turning out to be a rapey asshole. But there is that. And so, you know, don't lose hope. Maybe there's a bunch of crimes that he's committed in a bunch of states and they'll all sue him all at once and he'll end up having to like travel from state prison to state prison. And I don't think state prisons are as nice as federal prisons. So maybe he'll go into one of the nasty prisons.
Oh my gosh, I just had an image of Trump in an orange jumpsuit and handcuffs, like in one of those white jail vans. Not even the like nice prison vans, but like the real rickety white ones with the like chicken wire on it. That would be a little too much
that.
To ask for.
A little
but
too much
you bring
to
up
ask,
a really good point that, you know, the presidential pardon power only extends to federal crimes. So while Schneiderman, man, was that a faceplant? I have faith in the office, though. I am sure that there are a bunch of dedicated, solid civil servants in there who are not going to let this go.
Absolutely.
So it's only kind of terrible, right? Like, there's a lot that could go wrong, but there is some possibility that it could kind of go right, too.
It's like the Princess Bride. He's not all the way dead. It's just mostly dead. It's not all the way terrible. It's just mostly terrible. So we've talked about the worst case scenarios in this section, and we, you know, yes, Trump has been involved in a lot of shady shit, and yes, we pretty much all of us would love to see him perp walked into a courtroom and then, you know, promptly into a jail. That may not happen. It depends on SCOTUS. It depends on what kinds of crimes he's charged with, but, you know, keep the faith. There may be a way for us to get him out of the office, one, and into a prison, two.
Thank you all so much for listening. This is our only episode for the month of May. Life is a little bananas. We're traveling, we're on the road, and we're gearing up for Supreme Court decisions coming in June, where you're going to hear a lot from us.
Thank you for listening, and tell your friends. Boom Lawyered is created and hosted by Imani Gandhi and Jessica Mason Piclo. The show is produced by Nora Hurley. Our executive producer is Mark Folletti. And Rewire's editor-in-chief is Jody Jacobson.